This is the Museum of Lost Objects on BBC Radio 4. What you're about to hear is the first of 10 episodes that traces the stories of antiquities or historical sites that have been destroyed or looted over the last few years in Iraq and Syria. This isn't an attempt to lament the loss of stones over life. What you'll hear is a recreation of these places and objects reimagined through local histories, legends, and the stories of people who once lived and worked there 5, 10, 100, or even thousands of years ago.
From Nineveh to Palmyra, Aleppo to Baghdad, these are stories of ancient places that have become modern battlegrounds, and of those individuals trying to protect the past from the chaos of the present, even if all that's left are memories. Nineveh is one of the most important archaeological sites in the Middle East. It's in northern Iraq, in Mosul, a city synonymous with the past. Just under 3,000 years ago, Nineveh was the capital of the mighty Assyrian Empire. Back then, any person, friend or foe, strolling up the path to the gates of Nineveh would be greeted by the same sight, an enormous statue, one of the most iconic features of ancient architecture, the winged bull. The winged bull that guarded the gate on the northern side of Nineveh was huge. It's a composite of the most ferocious and powerful creatures known in the region, with the head of a man, wings of an eagle, and the hulking body of a bull.
They're very intimidating and menacing looking. It does sort of strike you a little bit with fear, which I suppose is part of the reason for these things.
It was hewn from a single slab of limestone over 2,500 years ago. In February 2015, the so-called Islamic State came to Nineveh and chiseled off the bull's face with a pneumatic drill. The first piece that we bring to our museum is this winged bull of Nineveh. It's a protective spirit, meant to awe and terrify, but also to welcome. With his large eyes and unfurled wings, a mass of curly hair, tumbling beard, and tight-lipped smile, it faced visitors with the stony determination and power of a king. This is Lamia al-Gilani, a key figure at the heart of Iraqi archaeology for the last 50 years and one of the country's first female archaeologists. Lamia says, ironically, that this violent action can be traced back to the ancients. When cities were sacked back then, marauding armies engaged in ritualized vandalism. This would involve smashing images of the king on the reliefs along palace walls. An easy job, because you'd always know who the king was. He had the strongest muscles, the biggest beard, the most resplendent hair, and they would obliterate his face. You hadn't fully toppled a king till you had also annihilated his images. No one knows the artist who first carved the winged bull in Nineveh, but the king who reigned supreme at the time, in the late 8th and early 7th century BC, was Sennacherib, and he was determined to make Nineveh special. But the power of even the greatest conquerors is ephemeral. A few generations after Sennacherib's death, Assyria was overrun, Nineveh was sacked, and the empire destroyed. The city sank beneath the ground and eventually became a series of mounds on the earth. The name of Nineveh lived on, of course, thanks in large part to its role in the Old Testament and the Quran. It was the home of the prophet Jonah for a while, right after his entanglement with a whale. And over the years, Jonah became a character closely associated with Nineveh. But it was in the 19th century when French and British explorers were inspired by biblical texts to seek out the famed city. And this is what led to Nineveh's unearthing in the 1840s. These early days of excavation would not have been possible without the guidance of the local Iraqis. But more often than not, it was the Western archaeologists who took the glory, quite literally. There's a photo taken in the 1980s, and it shows a road, heavy with traffic, snaking between the tall piles of earth on the excavation site. It has always been difficult to separate everyday human life from the ancient monuments. This was also true 3,000 years ago. Just ask Lamia al-Gilani. What she remembers most fondly about the winged bull wasn't his eyes or the tumbling ringlets of his beard, but something totally auxiliary to the statue itself. At the base of the bull, she found faint lines scratched by generations of ancient soldiers.
The Assyrian gods, they had a game carved into the stone at the base of the bull. It looks like dominoes. It's something that even the people in Mosul till now play it, something similar called Dana. So it means that quite a number of these bored Assyrian guards, what do they do? It gives it a human touch, you see.
A human touch. The guards of the Assyrian Empire play dominoes on the base of the august Lamassus. I find this a wonderful metaphor. In thinking about history and cultural heritage, it can be so easy to imagine these monuments as power frozen in stone. But the truth is that art isn't simply the record of grandeur a long time ago. Its meanings change over time, right until the present. In putting the winged bull in our Museum of Lost Objects, we remember its stony magnificence, but we also remember those Assyrian guards who refused to be awed and carried on playing.